Hello and good evening. So glad that you're here. Happy Thanksgiving to all of you. Want to give a special greeting to all of you, a special greeting to everybody who's joining us online. And if you're new in our church or visiting in town, or actually just maybe you're coming from out of town or you're in town, we are so glad that you are here tonight. We're going to be spending some time sharing testimonies, a little different tonight. It's not just going to be a whole sermon. I'm going to do a little kind of shorter sermons. We're going to look at scripture, of course, together. But this is a time where we actually share. I got a microphone ready to go. I'm going to be running around the room. If you got something to share, I'll give you more instructions on that a little bit later. All ages can participate, even our kids. So this is a time where we get to hear from each other as we give thanks to God for all that he's done in our lives. And don't be afraid to say an amen too, if you hear something like that. We got glow sticks over here. We got pies after service. We got a bonfire going on. With s'mores and hot chocolate, just for the youth though. Just for the youth group. That's right. So we're excited about that. We are going to be talking tonight about some really things that I think can help out making a difference in our lives. But let's start with some scripture, Psalm 126. We got it up on screen. Let's read this together. You don't have to say it out loud, but I'll read it here. Psalm 126, a song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. When the Lord brought back his exiles to Jerusalem, it was like a dream. We were filled with laughter and we sang for joy. And the other nation said, "What amazing things the Lord has done for them." Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy. Let me give you some background as we begin. Okay. First, this is called a song of ascent. A song of ascent. Every year, in the Bible, Exodus 34, God told his people three times a year to go to Jerusalem to gather together. Those three times, just a little background for you. First was Passover, and then that leads into the Feast of Unleavened Bread. There's first fruit, so it's harvest-oriented. That led into the Feast of Pentecost, or weeks. And then the third one was Atonement, Yom Kippur, which right after that was harvest, and into the Feast of Tabernacles. And in Hebrew, those were Pesach, Shavuot, and Sukkot. And they would walk to Jerusalem and they would ascend Mount Zion, which is up on this hill. And they would walk up this hill and they would ascend. And then in the Bible, Psalm 121 through Psalm 134, they're called the songs of ascent. Because they would look up this mountain and they would look up and they would remember all the burdens of their life. They would remember that they had been in exile at one point. They would remember these years of sorrow, and they would still look up though. They would look up and see the blessings of God as they told the stories of God and as they went into town for the holiday, as they went into town for the festival. A song of ascent. And I want you to think about what would it actually look like to have a life of ascent. A life that kept looking up. A life that said, even though there's burdens, and I don't know if any of you hike, but uphill is harder than downhill. Right? So think about that song of ascent. It's harder to go up than it is to go down, right? You're looking up and focusing on God, even as you might have a load straining on your back or your legs are achy, but you're still looking up this song of ascent. I just think that's such a powerful thing. It talks about coming back from exile. When the Lord brought his people back from exile. See, here's the thing. God had warned them to turn their life around. They didn't listen. If you read Jeremiah, if you read Isaiah, if you read any of these Old Testament prophets, they constantly were saying to the people, turn around, turn around. You need to turn around. And people just didn't listen. They kept doing the same old thing, same old thing, same old thing. And then they went into exile. But God brought them back. He brought back a faithful remnant of people who, under people in the Bible called Zerubbabel and Nehemiah and Ezra and these incredible people, and they rebuilt the city and they rebuilt the temple. And God's word continued in that city, lived for hundreds and hundreds of years, and just powerful. Okay. I want to focus in on this idea of amazing things that God has done for us. The nation says God's done amazing things, and it says, yes, God has done amazing things. And I want to focus in on this idea of focus on God's blessings more than life struggles. Focus on God's blessings more than life struggles. If you look back honestly over the last couple years, 3 years, it's been pretty tough. A lot of people have gone through a lot of things. There's been fear. There's been anger. There's been division. There's been distrust. There's been polarization. There's been fighting going on. There's actually been people drifting from their faith, which then affects other people and affects family because people aren't anchored in the Lord. There's been a lot of stuff going on in our culture and in our world, and we feel the weight of that. And as I talk to many of you, you're going, and it doesn't look like it's getting any better the next couple of years. When you have fears about prices and inflation and the economy and what's going on, is there going to be a recession? What does that mean for work? And I see people living into, they prognosticate fear, and so then they live into that fear, which means their fear becomes a reality. So they go, see, I told you, because they were looking for it. And so then it happens. And so we've already got people overworking and burning out. Same things that happened in the last recession. And going, well, I got to do this. I have to. And then suddenly you hit bottom like an exile. And then you turn back to God and you go, maybe there's a different way. And you start again this song and this life of ascent, trying to go back up the mountain of God, back up the hill where you go, this is my home. This is where I belong. Why did I wander? This is my home, and I'm so glad you're here. Right? Whether this is your church home or another church in your church home, God's people belong with God's people. Does that make sense? We belong in the house of God. We belong connected together. We belong overcoming our differences. We belong unified in Him. What a testimony to our world that's so divided, that we keep being together, focus more on God's blessings than life's struggles. I want to kind of talk to you about this idea of gratitude and this gratitude list and have actually making a list. When I went through the pandemic, many of you might be surprised to hear this, but you know, about a year into the pandemic, I started to really struggle and I started to deal with some pretty serious anxiety. And a lot of people wouldn't think that of me because I preach and I stand on the word of God and all this other stuff. Thankfully, it wasn't clinical anxiety. I know a lot of people in our church deal with that. But I was really struggling with people pleasing and trying to fix problems that were not mine to fix and dealing with constant criticism that was coming against me. Like I could solve what was happening in Sacramento or Washington, D.C. Right. And it wasn't even just the stuff that other people were saying. It's what I was saying to myself. Do you know what I mean? When your own thoughts start to attack you. And I started to just feel helpless. And I started to feel like it was my job to control things that it wasn't. And then I couldn't control them. And that got me frustrated. And there were times where I just didn't feel like I could do anything. And thankfully, as I've gotten feedback from people close to me, people I trust, people who give me honest feedback, they said, I continue to work well. I continue to lead well. So our church is still on the mission of God. But it was a 2-year journey for me. And prayer helped a ton. And getting out hiking helped a ton. And talking to supportive people helped a ton, having that support in your life. All these things were valuable and they were just made such a big difference. But I'll tell you what, the thing that actually helped me turn the corner was something I've heard before, you've heard before, you're going to think this is super trite. It was a gratitude list. Making a list that just had gratitude on it. And I want to encourage you tonight to make a gratitude list. I've said in this service before that gratitude is the antidote to anxiety. Right? It's not just, well, just don't be worried. Right? That doesn't work. Right? Right? Just stop feeling anxiety. That doesn't work. You got to have something else you focus on so that you're not focused on the thing that you're worried about or trying to control or that you can't control. You got to change your focus onto something else. That's what we're talking about there. And I want to give you 5 categories just up there on the screen. I'll talk through them as well. That things that you can actually add to your gratitude list. These are on mine. You might have 6 or 7 or 8 categories. That's fine. But here's things that are on mine that I realized it wasn't just making a list. You can do this on paper. But I want to encourage you, if you do it on paper, add a different page for each one of these things. Because you're going to find you'll keep adding to it again and again and again. And we'll talk about this in a few minutes, that you need to come back to this list over and over again. So category 1 is on God. Not just what God's done. That's the other 4, but for who God is, that God's creator, that God's our father, that God's our provider. We just sang that in Honey in the Rock, right? That no matter where we go, God can provide in a miraculous way. How many of you, can I get a witness in the last 2 years, even though life's been tough, God has shown up in some unexpected way. You got that, right? But how many of you will admit, if you don't write that down in a couple of years, you're probably going to forget it, Yeah. Some of you are like, I ain't never going to forget what has happened to me. I get that. I get that. Some of you are like, I'll never forget that. But for most of us, we don't write it down. Who is God? What about Jesus dying on the cross for us? What about Jesus giving us life? What about Jesus saving us? All those things. You start making this list and suddenly you're thinking of new things. Category two, your life. Start with your childhood. And I know we all have junk in our childhood. I get that. But what if you just said, here are the friends that I had and the memories that I had. You'll list memories. There'll be overlap in other categories. But what if you just listed, like, starting from as early as I can remember, here were the good things in my life. And you just start writing those down. And again, you're not going to do it all the first time. You keep adding to it. Third category is you say, what about your family and friends? Okay. Who are the people in your life who love you and support you and, you know, make sure that you're thankful for everybody in your family. Okay. So now you're going through that and you're just saying, God, thank you for these people. Thank you for my friends. Thank you for the people that support me. Fourth category is what about your church and your faith? Who are the mentors in your life? Who are the people who have helped you make those decisions? What is your story of faith? When did you give your life to Jesus? When did you have that, oh, moment? You know what I'm talking about? Right? Where you realized you don't realize as much as you realized? You know that moment? You don't understand as much as you thought you understood? You have that humbling moment where you realize, hey, maybe I'm lost enough to ask for directions. You know what I mean? That moment where you go, maybe I need to go to God's compass. Maybe I need to go to God's GPS. Maybe I need to actually get under some people who can support me and challenge me and grow me. Maybe I don't have all the answers. Those moments, who are those mentors? Who are those people? What are those experiences? And then that leads to the fifth category. So again, we got God for who he is, life, starting with your childhood, but all the way through wherever you're at, family and friends, church and your faith, and then experiences or possessions. So what are some key experiences in your life? For me, many of you know I've been sharing these stories of backpacking and going on the John Muir Trail. Super hard. It's not easy, but it's very rewarding. I consider that one of the great things of my life. Sometimes I'm up in these lakes and I'll say to Ben, who's with me, my son, I'll say, I'll probably never see this lake again, right? And since he's young, he's like, why? I'm like, because I'm old, right? And I'm not going back here again. This hurts getting here, right? And I treasure it. I even though I'm tired, I stay up until the sun sets just because I want to soak it in. You understand what I mean by soaking in gratitude? I think for a lot of us, it's like, yep, thanks, 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 thanks. And it's just quick. And let me say something real quick about possessions. And I know when we make a list like this, we're like, I don't want to list my possessions. I don't want to list down like, God, thanks for my car and thanks for my stuff. But it's okay to list that down because honestly, I've even known people on their gratitude list that they put, God, thank you for my toilets. And that may sound weird, but here's their thinking. I know there's people who don't have toilets. So I'm going to choose to be thankful for them. And what you're going to find is this list can get unbelievably large at times. And that's good. Because I want you to check this out. I want you to check this out. What would happen if you were overwhelmed with how much you had to be grateful for? The whole point we're getting at is focus more on God's blessings and life's struggles. All of life has both. All of life has both. But you can choose which one to focus on. And I have to tell you, going back to my story of anxiety, that all the other stuff I was doing was helping and praying and support and hiking and all the other things. But it wasn't until I actually looked at this gratitude list and looked at it weekly and focused on it and spent a lot of time with it each time that I finally started to turn the corner. And I'm not in the same spot I am now. I wouldn't share with you if I was in the middle of the mess, right? But I'm in a different spot now, and God's just totally grown me. And that's part of my story in the last couple of years. Let's pray. Lord, you're with us. Come storm or battle, we know that your love will meet us there in that spot, in that darkness, in that lowness. Lord, your word says that even the darkness is not dark to you. We don't have to be afraid. Thank you. Thank you for being such a great God. We love you and we pray this in your name. God's people said, amen. Amen. Go ahead and sit down. We're going to be back in Psalm 126. Here's what it says again. A song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem. when the Lord brought back his exiles to Jerusalem. It was like a dream. We were filled with laughter and we sang for joy. And the other nations said, what amazing things the Lord has done for them. Yes, the Lord has done amazing things for us. What joy. So restore our fortunes, Lord, as streams renew the desert. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. They weep as they plant their seed, but they sing as they return with the harvest. Those who plant in tears harvest with shouts of joy. If you got a Bible, that's one to underline, friends. That means we don't have to be afraid of those tears that come with life. Someone told me a little while ago, this was really helpful for me, the pandemic did not surprise God. I don't think that means God sent it or anything like that. I think God can take the bad of life and he can turn it around into the good so that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who are called according to his purpose. That God can take those things that the world meant to harm us or go against us and God can turn it into building us and growing us. But sometimes it feels like it hurts when the bricks are being thrown at us, but God turns around and uses those bricks to build us up. But sometimes it can be really hard. But God wasn't surprised. So when I ask you, how has God grown you in the last 2 years? How has God grown you in the last 2 years? For me, I shared some of my story with you. He's made me more resilient. He's made me more hopeful. He's made me more open to hear feedback from other people into my life, especially the people who give loyal criticism, if you know what I mean by that. They stay with you while they tell you you're being a knucklehead. Okay? God's also made me, I said it before, but just more hopeful for the future. I believe the best days are ahead, and I don't think a lot of people in our world do, but I believe that if God could have walked with me through the last 2 years, and he's going to walk with me again through the next two and the next 20, and beyond and beyond and beyond. And I think a lot of people look to the future with fear, and to me, I look forward with hope and just seeing what God's up to. And I think we all do have a choice. Are we going to focus more on life's struggles or more on life's, on God's blessings? So I want to challenge you again, focus more on God's blessings than life's struggles. And I want to challenge you again, make a gratitude list. You probably have had one in the past. I've had people make these, right? They make them and I do this pastor thing with them. I'm struggling with fear. I'm struggling with anxiety. I'm struggling with my thoughts. Let's make a gratitude list. Okay, sometimes they just want to talk about it. You ever have a thing where you just want to talk about it? I'm like, that's great. Well, why don't we actually make a list? Okay, let's make a list. How do you feel? Man, I feel so much better. A month later, Scott, I'm struggling with my thoughts again. I'm down in the dumps. Because that's what happens when we're going through these things. I've been there, you've been there. We probably understand, right? And I go, where's your list? Well, I threw my list away. I don't know where it is. I haven't looked at it, right? That's what happens. I'm not trying to judge you. That's just what we do. I did this too. I had to learn how to do the list different. I had to change the way I did it. I want to give you a few tips as you make a list. And I really want to challenge you to make a list. You got time this weekend, most of you. Right? Okay. Some of you have to work. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Right? Okay. Most of us got some time where you take that time, right, to say, I'm going to make this list. Okay. We already talked about categories. Let me give you a few things. Okay. Keep adding to it. Okay. Return to it frequently. And soak it in. So first is keep adding to it. You don't have to when you start talking, I got to give 4 hours on my gratitude list. Just start by using those categories and just write a few things that come to mind. That's just because every time you open it back up, you'll find that you add to it. This is what I found. I just couldn't help myself. I'd be going, oh man, this and this and this. I'm like, why didn't I put that? And I put that down and put that down. And then I'm like, oh, I'm also thankful for this and this and this. And it was just almost like kind of, you get giddy. And when's the last time you were giddy? Right? You're just kind of like, man, this feels good. You almost lighten when you do this stuff. Keep adding to it. Second thing is return to it frequently. I already talked about how many people forget it. I found that when I was struggling, someone challenged me to make a gratitude list, and I did. And then again, just like you, I found a month later, I was in the same spot and I was like, oh yeah, gratitude list. But thankfully I'd done my on my phone. And so I could open it back up. And it's the weirdest thing. I felt better. And then I had to go through this for a few months before I realized I probably, and this is what I still do, I will get back to that list weekly. And the third thing is soak it in. Soak it in. Use this analogy with me. Like coming in from a cold, snowy day and sitting by the fire. How long does it take before you feel that heat in your bones? You have to let gratitude soak deep in you to the point, not where you just start to feel the anxiety go away. And I don't know if you know this, friends. You may think you're the only one who deals with it. Everyone's insecure. Everyone's insecure. You got to let it soak in until you feel it go away and go away and then get deep in you and deep in you to the point where I'd finally leave and I could write on that list for 2 or 3 days just remembering. If it would go away in just a couple of days, I'd go right back to it. You return to it, you add to it, and you soak it deep, deep in. I'm here to be your friend. I'm here to be your pastor. I'm here to be your guide. And I want to encourage you to put this into action. Don't just hear it. It will make a difference in your life. You cannot control what the person next to you is going to do with their feelings, their thoughts, or their anxiety. But you can make a choice to be a non-anxious presence in the lives of other people. And it will change you and it will change them. I want to encourage you to do that. Okay? Those who harvest in tears, those who reap with tears will harvest with joy. It has been so good. I'm so glad that you're here. Thank you for everyone who joined us online as well. If you're here, hang out a bit. We got pies. We got refreshments. Youth got a bonfire going on. We have a new devotional in our church. We put out devotionals every few months. If you want to grab one on the way out, we're going to be looking at Ruth and Esther. We do that on social media. We do that through a booklet. Get in the Word with us. Come back on Sunday, 9 o'clock, 11 o'clock. We're going to be talking about why church does the things that we do. Apparently, I have a voice that sounds a little bit like this. So I might have to work on that a little bit too. But I want to give you this blessing, friends. Blessing. This blessing. Those who plant in tears will harvest with shouts of joy. Those weep as they go plant their seeds, but they come back singing with joy as they return with the harvest. Brothers and sisters, God bless you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving.